listening to Tenacity Radio. Real entertainment. No excuses.
Got Paranormal. Is a talk show based on the integration of shared ideas coming from multiple perspectives within a round table format. Designed to examine assumptions and to expand awareness. Join S.E. Burns and her co-hosts as they make sure you have got paranormal.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Tonight's guest is host of 32 Degrees of Insanity, Donnie Gilson, and the topic is Nibiru. Joining me tonight are my two co-hosts, Gut Wrench. Robbie, can I call you Gut Wrench tonight? I've been wanting to do that.
You sure can.
And our professor of history, Professor Earl Shandemeyer. Gut Wrench is monitoring the chat room, so if you have any questions, he'll do his best to include you. Welcome, Donnie Gilson.
Well, thank you. Thank you for went into your Tenacity website. Thank you for having me on tonight. I'm really, it's an honor.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor for you to say yes, I'll come on your show. Thanks a lot. Because I know how busy you are. What do you tell us about? You have a couple shows you do, right?
Yeah, I do. I'm on freedomizerradio.com, and I do 32 Degrees of Insanity every Monday and Wednesday night from 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, going all the way till midnight. And, of course, I co-host with Hottie and Reno, Vicky of The Heated Conversation on freedomizerradio.com on Thursday and Friday nights. And then you can catch me on Truth Frequency Radio with Chris and Cherie sometimes on Saturdays, where I'm a contributor as well. And, of course, my YouTube channel and my website, which is www.ursuadams.com.
Wow, you're a busy guy.
What did he say?
Donnie, you talk way too fast.
What's the show with your girlfriend about?
Well, it's, you know, as it is, it's the heated conversation. It definitely, we get
about
very.
What?
Oh, gosh, you name it. Lately, we've been talking a lot about Nibiru. We've been talking about everything from the Catholic religion and how that. Forms into this whole thing. We definitely have different views on our religion preferences. I'm kind of more of a spiritualist, call myself kind of a Gnostic Christian, where Vicky is very Catholic and very Catholic oriented. So we have definitely heated conversations on that. We just had a guy on recently on our show called Brian Leonard Golightly Marshall, who states that he is Yahweh, he is God. And we've been having some very interesting conversations with this gentleman.
No way. Give me his name.
Yeah, it's Brian Leonard Golightly Marshall. He's an Australian man. Very interesting individual. He believes that he is the head to the throne of England. He had served a proclamation to the Queen stating that he is that the throne is rightfully his according to his history of his family, and he has been able to bring together some numerical patterns to show that he is that he is Jesus Christ. And the weird thing about it is he also says that he is the image that is in the Shroud of Turin. And when you put this guy's image next to the image that's in the Shroud of Turin, you will be amazed. It almost looks like this guy is identical to the image that is in the Shroud of Turin. It's almost creepy.
How'd you find him?
You know, I found him through different channels of people that we were talking about in regards to Nibiru. I recently interviewed this lady who believes that she is the reincarnation of Marilyn Monroe, and she's been on CNN, MSNBC, Geraldo, Fox News, Sherry, I forget her last name off the tip of my tongue, but she believes that she is the reincarnation of Marilyn Monroe. They've had some past life regressions on this lady. So she's the one that actually introduced me to this Brian Leonard Marshall Golightly. And he's quite an interesting individual, but we have really been having some heated conversations and divisions amongst people who believe that he's either a cult leader, a Nazi war criminal, or something. We've had a gambit of things, but the one thing that we can agree on is this guy is very knowledgeable when it comes to Nibiru.
All right. Well, first of all, I guess I pronounced it wrong. I said Nibiru. How do you say it? It's Nibiru?
Nibiru. You know, it really is, you know, some people call it the Planet X, Teak, the 12th planet, the land of the planet of the gods, you name it. It's had very many different names to
okay.
it.
Okay, good segue into what exactly it is then, because I know some people don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Do it.
Can you explain it in depth?
Oh, well, where would you like to?
Please. Sorry.
We learned about, we really learned about this 12th planet in the Book of Enoch. If you are not familiar with the Book of Enoch, it is one of the books that was actually left out of the Bible. Enoch was the great-grandfather of Noah. And to briefly talk about Enoch, some in the Old Testament, see some brief talking about him in Genesis, and I think there's some brief talking about him in Isaiah as well. But he is supposed to be he was the great grandfather of Noah, where he talked about these Anunnaki, these gods or these fallen angels that were fallen from heaven, and they were put onto this planet called called Nibiru, or Wormwood, which is word for this planet, and these fallen angels came to Earth. They bred with the women here on Earth, and created these beings called the Nephilim. And the Nephilim are the offspring of these angels, and they are you know, you might call them demons or people that have kind of been part of these 12 major bloodlines, the elites.
Nephilim.
For you know, ever and a day, and now they're saying that this planet, this planet that caused the great flood during Noah's time, is coming around, and it's on a guy who really brought it out to the mainstream was a guy named Zachariah Sitchin. He wrote a book called The 12th Planet, and he talked about this elliptical orbit of this planet called Nibiru, or Wormwood, or the Planet X, you may want to call it. And it is in a 3,600-year cycle, elliptical cycle, as it comes around. And now we are approaching that 3,600-year cycle, which is ironically right here at the end of the Mayan calendar, which is supposed to be here December 22nd, 2012.
Wait, December 22nd or 1st?
December 21st is the actual end of it, end of the cycle, but December 22nd is supposed to be the new age, the new world.
So is this
plan? Do you think you're going to be around for that?
I hope so.
You're not. I read that you're a Freemason.
I am. Right?
You're truly a Freemason, because I couldn't find any information on you, like you talking about being a Freemason. I read a little tiny part, and it was in, I think it was in Robbie's, I'm going to say Gut Wrench tonight. I like that tonight for some reason. In his blog, I was reading about it.
Yeah, I'm a 32nd degree Freemason and a Knights Templar. So that's kind of where I have... you know, my esoteric side, I guess, comes out, and that's why I research in these depth. But I'm also, you know, a Gnostic Christian as well. But Masonry, I don't think really has much to do with with Nibiru. But you know, it is something that our family goes back five generations deep.
Okay.
As Freemason.
All right. Well, I'm agnostic. I don't. You know, I believe there's a life force energy. So where does that leave me on the 22nd?
You're part of the source, are you not?
No, I don't understand this. First of all, I think it was May 21st. What did you think about that? Last May 21st, something was supposed to happen. Of course, nothing did.
May 21st.
Yeah, the end of days, I think. What was that called?
May 28th, wasn't it? The Herald Camping things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that was the 21st, I remember. It was my birthday.
thought it was the 28th. Harold
and
Camp.
I was actually alone, sadly, in Walmart shopping, and it was sick. Yeah, like there on that. I think 6 o'clock on the 21st. Yeah.
May 21st, 2011. I thought it was myself. I thought it was Judgment Day spreads across May 21st. So I guess you are right. May 21st was the supposed to be the end of the day. I thought it was May 28th for some odd reason. Oh, I know why I thought it was May 28th. That was my demise of when the I had something that happened to me during my NIBR research on the May 28th that happened to me. That's why I'm thinking May 28th. Yes, May 21st was the Harold Camping end of days thing. We were spouting off that had nothing to do with, you know, Harold Camping. No one knows the day, the time, or the hour, right, according to the Bible. So, of course, May 21st there with Harold Camping, I thought was a false prophecy anyways.
Mm. Okay, thank you for that, because I was really curious on...
Well, I just have a quick question.
Sure.
We threw out 12-22-2012, so that's a date.
that's supposedly the end of the... Well, the end of the Mayan calendar, December 21st, 2012, is supposedly supposed to be the end of the Mayan calendar. The December 22nd, 2012 is supposed to be the ushering end of the New World, or the New Earth. So
this doesn't have anything to do with planet X.
Will it happen? I don't know.
So the idea is that Nibiru is going to come and wash the Earth clean of its all of its problems, or it's going to disintegrate Earth?
No, not necessarily. You know, there's been a lot of speculations now. One of the big things that's out there is a guy named Tulloch, and there's a new guy on the scene called Araroth, who is supposed to be part of... There's these different things. One's called the Galactic Federation, the Andromeda Council, and the Ashtar Command. They're supposed to be these star systems. Alfred Weber, I don't know if you've... who is the main guy in Exopolitics, has been doing a lot of interviews with these guys. Lisa Hamilton down in Australia just interviewed this new guy, stating that Nibiru is not going to cause any type of major problems with the Earth. However, we are going to be entering into the fourth and fifth dimension. Will that happen? I'm not really sure. You know, I am more in line with something really major happening. One of the major things that we've been talking about on my show, just as of recently, actually, we were talking about the Timothy Geithner arrest, which happened in New York, where he's spilling the beans about all the major cabal arrests that are about ready to take place, and how George Walker Bush Sr. is being targeted. I feel that these veils, as we would call it in masonry, are going to be revealed over the next 8 to 9 months, and as these veils get lifted, the final thing is going to be the veil of Nibiru, where we will actually see this thing in the sky. I don't think it's going to cause any major problems, though.
I'm sorry, Robbie, but while he's talking about arrests, I want to ask him why he was arrested.
Why I was arrested?
Yeah.
I was arrested on May, that's what I was May 28th stuck out in my head. I was arrested on May 28th, 2011, according to my Nibiru research. I was actually doing a lot of investigations with a Russian intelligence officer named Ghost. Him and I were doing a lot of research in 9/11, Nibiru. I was targeted, basically.
You were, okay.
That's interesting.
All right, thanks.
So I had a question about this Nibiru thing. If
sure.
It's not far from being here. I mean, we've only got a few months. This thing must be either super, super tiny or moving so damn fast that if it comes anywhere close to this planet or our moon, I'm sure that there's going to be, well before it gets here, there's going to be some serious issues in our galaxy.
Well, some people are speculating. This is the speculation. I'm coming to the conclusion of this. This thing is no larger than our Earth, or even might be even just as large as our moon. I don't think it's going to be a big brown dwarf star. I think it's a smaller rogue planet. NASA has been talking about these rogue planets as of late that are spiraling around the galaxy. I believe that Nibiru itself also is, you know, if we look at this in a dimensional plane, if we're looking at the Anunnakis as fallen angels or heaven, even if you look at it in a cosmology sense, that there are different levels or different dimensions. I believe that Nibiru itself sits on a higher plane or a higher frequency. It's been in our solar system. It's been a part of our solar system, a part of the harmony of our solar system forever. And I believe if it does come through, it is on a different frequency level that is not going to cause any harm or any damage to the Earth. And that's why we're seeing like dual suns in Russia. We're seeing dual suns in China. I think there's a dimensional collisions that are happening. I mean, one of the major things that happened last May that's still unexplained is why this particular city appeared in China right above a riverbed. People were looking out, saw this fog mist, and they saw this city that was not even a part of this area in China. And so I think we are going into a dimensional shift of sorts. That's my full belief.
Mm-hmm. And Don, I'm not an expert, not even close, on this subject, so I'm just kind of asking some clarifying questions.
Sure.
It's a 3,600-year elliptical orbit we're talking about.
Now, that's what Zachariah Sitchin says. That's what Zachariah Sitchin says. Okay. I don't know if I'm lined up on that.
Okay. Whatever it is, I think we associated it with the cause of the Great Flood. Now, what is the difference between its last appearance and this appearance that nothing would happen to the Earth this time?
Well, according to this gentleman named Tulloch, who is a representative of the Andromedan Council, he states that the several extraterrestrial star systems that are involved with this have created some treaty with the Anunnaki that as it comes through this time around, that it's not going to cause any peril against, and I think that this thing could be under intelligent control, because one of the stories of Nibiru, if you do a little bit of research on Nibiru, you will hear that it was actually damaged, that it had a collision of sort with a water planet. I believe that this water planet was what they was a planet called Lucifer, and actually is what created the Great Flood during Noah's time as it came through. It had a collision. So this is a planet that's damaged. And now I believe it's under intelligent control by the Anunnaki, which has brought it into a higher dimensional plane.
I'm calling him Tammy. I'm reading somebody in the chat room. There's a lot going on in the chat room, Donnie, where especially Peter is saying that Nibiru doesn't exist.
Well, there's plenty of people that state that as well. I mean, you're going to have all sides of the coin on this one. Some interesting stuff that's coming out of Antarctica as of late, and I've been showing this on my YouTube videos, is there's an odd moon that is showing up in Antarctica. Some people are saying that it is faked. Some people are saying that it is one of the moons of Nibiru. It's another rogue planet. Who knows what's happening down there in Antarctica? I've been keeping an eye closely on NUMAR Station, which is down there in Antarctica, which is the German research center down in Antarctica. Dawson Station, also Casey Station, which is an Australian research center. I've been looking at following the webcams down there, and a lot of weird things have been happening down there. We've been seeing different shifts as such, the sun rising in wrong areas it shouldn't be rising. We've been following it for over a year now. And of course, right before the March 11th tsunami, I was on a radio show on March 11th, or actually on March 10th in San Francisco, where I was worried about something happening because from what I was researching on SOHO and Stereo, I was concerned about a rogue planet that was in there, and I was concerned that something was going to break within the Ring of Fire. And then, of course, on March 11th, we had the Japanese tsunami. Some of the same things are happening right now if you go to Stereo and SOHO, you take a look at last year's run. We're about 2 weeks ahead of schedule as far as these alignments that are happening on Stereo and SOHO. But another thing is, we also have these CMEs that are coming out of the sun.
Go back to the ahead of schedule thing, the alignment
sure.
being 2 weeks ahead of schedule.
Correct. Yeah. Well, last year we started seeing these so-called planets kind of roll into Stereo and SOHO right around March 1st.
What do you mean by so-called planets?
Well, I thought they were. That's what I thought they were. I thought they were so-called planets. They were. To me, one of my first videos that I did on YouTube was in regards to, and this I showed this to Richard Hoagland, showed this to several other people. I felt that these were the so-called seven planets that were orbiting Nibiru, and we are seeing these exact same planets coming into Stereo now, they're currently on Soho and Stereo currently right now. So we're about 2 weeks ahead of schedule as it was last year. We're seeing the exact same thing. So and now we're seeing a lot of weird weather anomalies happening right now. We just had another 4.0 earthquake in Missouri last week. You know, a lot of things are actively happening here as far as weather patterns are concerned. And now we're also starting to see some strange objects in the sky that we've been noticing by the sun. They look like planets of sorts. We've got video of this that are showing up, you know, from all the way from Belgium to Australia to right here in the United States. Some weird things happening that are unexplainable.
What about you talked about the earthquakes and stuff like that. Can't you attribute that to fracking? Because there's a lot of fracking going on.
Well, you could. Well, you know, some people are, you know, David Wilcock is stating that all these small earthquakes are the blowing up of underground bases of the reptilians. What is it? Who knows what they are? You know, awesome. I mean, this is what, you know, there's so much speculation out there. It's hard to find out who has got the truth and who doesn't. You know, I'm just reporting what I see, what I hear. You know, I am probably, you know, the least of the person that I speculate way too much. But yet I believe that there has to be something to do with either the sun or some planetary object that's coming in. And too many things. I mean, these weird sounds that are happening all around the world.
Donnie, what is with that? Can you talk about that? Robbie was talking about that a while back. We were talking off air about seeing these videos of people recording sounds in their backyard, and they're sitting there freaking out. And I'm sitting there going, well, isn't it set up? And the dogs freaking out in the yard. Like, what is that? Can you explain what these sounds are that keep happening?
Well, some have said that it's a hoax, but I've seen several different videos, and the ones that I thought were very convincing, and I actually showed one in a video recently, was right outside of Hamburg, Germany, and they started hearing this really large sound. They had their windows open. And then they closed it, and you could still hear the hum of the sound from the outside. So I didn't think that was a hoax. Some of these things that we're hearing around the, you know, are, you know, I think are hoaxes, but yet, you know, some of these are unexplainable. And what it is, you know, some say it's the seven trumpets of Revelation. Some people say it is, you know, a dimensional collision. Some people say that it's actually, you know, microorganisms that are within the atmosphere, and they're, you know, trying to create a scientific theory on why this is happening. You know, there's a lot of speculation, but oddly enough, as we've entered into this colder atmosphere now it's winter, and it seems almost like winter itself. You know, I live here in Reno, and we're finally getting winter, and we're end of February. We've been in the 70s, 60s, and 70s degrees all winter long. Now we're finally getting the season, you know, the winter season here at the end of February. I think we're either having some sort of pole shift, and I think as the Earth itself is shifting, that is what's causing these sounds. I believe these sounds are coming from within the Earth itself.
Well, Donnie, you seem to know quite a bit about enough about the space and stuff like that and astronomy.
Well, I'm an amateur at best.
I think you look at and photograph and video enough of it that you have to question. I spoke earlier about the size and the speed of this thing. If it does exist, why aren't we seeing some kind of evidence of it? That thing would be causing some kind of a ripple somewhere if it was coming this way. It's only got months now.
There actually is, you know, Saturn itself and Jupiter are perpetuating. They are kind of off balance right now, and we've seen Saturn go from, you know, almost to a complete 90-degree tilt. Both left and right. We've never seen that before. We've also noticed that the sun itself does not quite look like the sun anymore. Mm. It really looks like a washed out sun. We're seeing Venus and Jupiter brighter in the sky. We just had a strange alignment here with the moon, which the actual shadow of the moon is looking like it's completely tilted. And it almost looked like a smiley face. The only thing that would cause that, the only time you see the moon showing this type of shadow, which almost looks like a smiley face or a Cheshire cat's smile, the only place that you could see that way would be at the North Pole. So something has to be shifting. Either the Earth is shifting, or these planets are shifting, or the Earth is under control and it's actually moving. You know, these actually new videos that are down in the Antarctica, somebody said that this new moon that somebody caught actually looks like Saturn's moon. Could we be moving closer to these planets? Could we be actually moving? I mean, and NASA and the scientists aren't telling us, you know, we really don't understand physics, as you know. I mean, really, there is a lot of things out there as far as physics is concerned that we don't know about. The Hadron Collider just broke the speed of light back in October. So that means with the breaking of the speed of light, anything in Einstein's relative theory of relativity is out the window. Now they're coming back, just came back a week ago saying, oh no, we were wrong. We didn't break the speed of light, because now everybody's questioning physics as far as it's concerned, and as far as, you know, if there is something out there that's in harmony with the universe, and if this Nibiru is out there, well, we would speculate, yeah, if there's a big brown dwarf out there, well, physics would say that this would happen to the Earth. You know, astronomy would show that. But if what we have learned, what we have been told for so long is untrue, well, then any of that speculation is wrong. So we really have to start, you know, really kind of looking at things outside the box, and that's sure. What I did.
Sure, sure.
What do you think Go ahead, Professor.
Well, I was just kind of trying to reconcile what you said here, and it seems to me that we're talking about the potential for it to be an interdimensional type of object, and if I would be much more inclined to accept the fact that it didn't have a physical effect on anything until it wanted to have a physical effect,
right?
Then to have a whole, that what you just said is a very complicated string of a highly unlikely and improbable occurrences for the Earth to be moving. I mean, granted, NASA could hide things, but there are a lot of universities around the world that can. They can measure the speed of light from the sun into the Earth to know exactly our location.
Sure. Yeah.
We could alleviate all of that just by saying that this thing is interdimensional, and when it appears, it appears. It doesn't really make too much of a wave coming, like Ray or like Robert was just saying. It's not going to come through here hurtling like a gigantic massive black hole. It's just going to kind of pop up and be here.
Donnie, one second. I'm sorry. Yeah. We have to break. Oh, sure. But when we come back, we're going to talk about, you made a recent statement about, of course, I can't find it in my notes. Where is it? That the recently released that new Nibiru is a cloaked black planet masking as a carbon star.
I actually wrote that a while back, but yeah. I believe that Nibiru is part of a system.
All right, let's talk about that when we get back. We're going to take a 4-minute break.
You are listening to Tenacity Radio. Real entertainment. No excuses.
Join me, S.E. Burns, as I interview all areas of style, from interior design, fashion, arts, beauty, and more, every Tuesday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, here on Tenacity Radio. Real entertainment, no excuses.
This is Gut Wrench. I'm here to tell you about a brand new show I'm hosting on Friday nights at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Tenacity Radio Network. Every Friday night, right after Mozo, you tune in at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to Gut Wrench Unplugged, Unsigned. I'll share with you musicians, artists, and their music, as well as their craft, and we'll try to get them a little bit of recognition. Feel free to email me at robbywrench@gmail.com. That's R-O-B-B-Y, wrench, like a tool, @gmail.com. And let's see what we can do to help you out. Every Friday evening at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Right here on TenacityRadio.com. Real entertainment. No excuses.
Donnie Gilson, he's host of 32 Degrees of Insanity. And Donnie, what's the website so they can hear that?
You can go to www.freedomizerradio.com, or you could just hit up my website, which is www.ursuadams.com. The links to our all of our radio shows are right off to the right-hand side.
All right. Why do you have so many names, by the way?
I have two
on Facebook friends. I've got two different names, actually. I mean, it's not that weird, so do I. But
you got Don Adams and Donnie Gilson. And Don Adams, I used to be a on-air personality for mainstream media. And Don Adams was actually my on-air name for many years. And it's also my pen name. I wrote a book called The Message. Don Adams was my pen name, so that's why I have.
When did you release The Message?
The Message was written in 2001, and I released it back in 2006.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the Black Cloaked Star.
Sure.
Tell us about that.
Well, what I think, and this is why I believe that Nibiru could be cloaked. It actually, there is a star out there, and I'll actually pull it up here for you. There is a star out there called M15, which is NGC 7078, and NASA shows it, and I'll actually put it in your guys' chat room here. Hang on a second.
Okay, cool.
Let's see if I can find your chat room. I just had it here. Listen live, right? Okay, there we go. This is this particular image that I just showed you, that I'm showing you, is, I believe, is what is masking Nibiru itself. And that is why we can't see it. I believe it could be. Zachariah Sitchin says it's on an elliptical orbit of 3,600 years. I don't believe that is true. I believe that Nibiru itself is under intelligent control. As I said earlier, I think that the planet itself was injured back around Noah's time. That it was it was actually put under intelligent control at that point in time, and now kind of is a rogue planet throughout the galaxy and kind of goes on its own little course. And I think that's why we see it here and there. I believe that this thing right here that I just showed you is what is cloaking it. And this is supposed to be a black hole, but I don't believe that it is a black hole. I mean, there's no other black hole that I've ever seen. When you think of black holes, I always think of, gamma bursts and, stars being sucked into it. This looks like it's got like a canvas over it of some sort. And then around it is a kind of like a electric shield of some sort. And I think it just kind of spirals throughout the galaxy, kind of moves around throughout the galaxy. That's just my speculation and my theory. And that's
where are you posting this link at?
I just put it in the I can put it back in your guys' Skype too if you want.
Where did you put it initially?
Donnie, I have a question.
I put it in the chat room.
I got
it. As you believe that Nibiru exists, mm-hmm. plenty of people do not. Mm-hmm. Why are you so convinced it does? Like, first, what got you started? You're so passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And as you're going along, are you getting more passionate about it because it seems to make more sense as the years go by? And why are you so convinced? I mean, there are people even in the chat room saying it absolutely does not exist. Science is saying it doesn't exist.
Well, I could, flip the middle finger to science.
So can a lot of people, sure, because that's the whole conspiracy too, as far as I'm concerned.
But. Yeah, I think science is I think science is a conspiracy. Honestly, it's as I said, NASA says it's never a straight answer. I think everything that I've learned up until now I'm 43 years old. I look back on the education that I've had. A lot of it I have been able to prove wrong. Especially in the field of psychology, for instance. To go back to my passion, well, I had, I think it stems back all the way back to my childhood. I had my first UFO spotting experience when I was 7 years old.
How do you know? What did you say?
Oh, I remember it vividly. I was I ran away from home. Got mad at my grandma and grandpa.
Okay. I actually packed a bag. Yeah. Packed a bag, and my dad walked in the room, and he's like, okay, go. It, devastated me for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I ran away about 8 blocks. It was Easter night.
Yeah, I did too.
It was Easter night, and I remember it vividly. And I was sitting in this area in St. Paul, Minnesota, where I grew up, and I looked up in the sky, and I saw this cigar-shaped object literally right above me. I mean, I can remember it. To this day, whenever I think about it, I can still see that object. And over the years, I have actually had contact, which I believe, with extraterrestrial beings.
You had contact with them?
Mm-hmm. I've had first contact.
What did they look like? What did they look like?
Just like you and I.
And nothing was different? Not even
the
nails?
The only thing that I thought that was different was the eyes. I've seen eyes that have been completely black. Soulless, where there's no kind of emotion within the eyes. I have seen
like the black-eyed kids.
Yeah, very similar.
Hmm. See, I
just
told
completely
you.
Black eyes. I have met individuals that actually have slit reptilian eye that I've encountered. Just recently, I actually met a man here in Reno. Sounds like a song. Met a man here in Reno, but he actually had slit eyes as well.
But wait, did you say anything off kilter to get him to question? Like you knew?
Well, actually, this is this. The people
like,
that I
had, if I really thought that, I would have hinted around and said something to him.
Well, this person that I actually encountered. Well, let me bring you back to actually 2008, just a few years ago. I was actually in an area called it was called the Lucky 13 Bar, and I was sitting there. I was talking to a lady a little older than I was, and she, you know, when you get like that feeling of that you know somebody and you know them deeply that you've ever met and they're actually a perfect stranger, but you get kind of
Yeah, I have.
Okay. I was, you know, went up to her and I was like, you know, something about you. I feel, you know, and I wasn't trying to hit on her or anything, but I was, you know, I was trying to, you know, I said, something about you is really drawing me to you. And she's like, you know, sitting there cutting, you know, this cheeseburger in half. She's like, pushes it over to me. She goes, well, you look hungry. And she says, do you want some food? And so she gets up
is
out of the chair.
Is it a young woman or an older woman?
She's older. She was probably 10, 15 years my senior, and she, you know, as she was walking away, when she got up, she says, I got to go out and get something, and she goes, you know, Donnie, don't worry about anything. We're aliens.
Oh!
Are you serious?
Swear to gosh, this is exactly what this lady said to me. And then I've also had encounters where I've walked up to people, and I, you know, I'm like, you know, I know you, and they're like, You are not on a need to know basis right now. You don't need to know, but just keep walking. People that it's like the Truman Show sometimes. I, you know, it might sound crazy, but it's like the Truman Show, and I know that these people are either angelic or they are from a different dimension or a different system as well.
You know what? I hope I can have you back on and talk about your little experience when you were 7, because I have so many questions about that, and I don't want to go on about it on this show.
Well, you dabble with the paranormal, and actually, when I was 7, a lot of things went down. See, I come from a family. My grandmother was raised in, you know, she dabbled a lot in the occult. She was an automatic writer. She did a lot with the Ouija boards, tarot cards, and such, clairvoyant. So I've got a lot of unique history in my childhood in regards to that. So that's where my passion lies. And I believe when I did read the Book of Enoch, and I'm a true follower of God and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, these are the things that I believe are true.
Okay, well, that's interesting because you went to school for psychology, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Because, you know, most people brush off – a lot of people think, oh, paranormal, they're hallucinating, they've got mental issues, blah, 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 blah.
Well, I was an avid follower of Dr. Carl Jung.
Okay.
And so a lot of my research and studies were based on Carl Jung's collective unconsciousness, you know, his theories that were in the Red Book. He wrote a book called The Red Book, which is the Jung family released about 3 years ago in regards to his 16-year self-induced hallucination experience that he was trying to break through to the other side and past this universe and getting to the source, which is God. And that's kind of where my studies as far as psychology is concerned. I've had many friends that have been diagnosed schizophrenic that I have dealt with over the years. Actually, one of my best friends hung himself in 1995, which I found. One of the reasons why I got into psychology is because of my very dear friend Brady Ackland, who I also feel has visited me in a human form.
Wow. Oh my God. Yeah, that is a whole nother show.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, hopefully we'll stay in touch. Yeah, that's a lot of interesting stories. Okay, I'm sorry, Professor.
Just a question, because I'm kind of trying to reconcile again. You've expressed this kind of a almost a hidden or underground society or these aliens and this interactions that you've had, mm-hmm. and their unwillingness to come forward and be open and honest. But at the same time, you've expressed some pretty negative attitudes towards science for doing exactly the same thing. For not being fully honest,
and I have the same feeling towards these extraterrestrials. I mean, I believe they're just another control group. That's exactly what I believe. I believe they're not completely being honest with us as well. That's why I have some major problems with these things called the Andromeda Council, the Galactic Federation. I believe the Galactic Federation of Light, which a lot of people follow, I believe is a satanic, draconian, reptilian organization. I believe the Andromeda Council and Ashtar Command, these angelic, supposedly some high angelic command. I think there's just another control group within the fifth dimension that is... controlled by a man called Lucifer.
Okay, so you're equal. Okay,
Donnie, you can't. You have to explain that more. Why do you think they're controlled by Lucifer?
Well, Lucifer is the architect of this universe.
Okay, can you get into that?
Sure. Lucifer is in control of anything from fifth dimension down. I believe he is the creator of this universe. He is not the source. He's not God. He's not Elohim. He's not Jesus. He's just a part of this dense fifth, fourth, and third dimensional area. But if we look past that, which is I like to call the isness of ourselves, our higher consciousness, our higher being, if we look down at that, we would actually think that Lucifer was actually quite a pathetic little individual.
How do you come to these conclusions? I mean, you say you believe in it. There had to be something substantial to slap you upside the head and say, this is what I believe. What was it?
Probably talks with my grandmother, talks with different Masonic people, reading. I used to read a lot of books. One of my favorite books is a book by Nicholas DeVere called The Dragon Legacy that talks about the Dragon Court and the bloodlines of the Dragon Brotherhood. And basically, I've investigated many different religions. I mean, the Dark Cabal, the Light Cabal. I mean, it's been an ongoing process for me, and it's also my soul talking to me too. Mm-hmm. I believe that no one can save you but yourself, and that if you do not question everything, as Buddha says, that you're leading yourself down a wrong path.
You want to say something about that, Professor, since you lean towards Buddhism?
Oh, I agree 100%, though I'm a little bit more, I think science ultimately has the answer. I think there's some scientists out there that David Baum, as we've talked about in the past, I think was a man of science who was willing to ask the hard questions. And so I think it's a little fair to kind of lump all of science together. I think they've got a pretty hard head overall, but there's some good scientists out there.
Oh, no, I agree. There's really, there's good scientists that, I believe, I kind of, when science comes, says I believe in string theory, M theory. Those are the kind of the areas that I'm really kind of looking more down as far as science is concerned. I believe there's all kinds of different dimensions that are happening simultaneously within millimeters of us that we don't even see. That's why, as you said earlier, as we all said earlier, or I said earlier, and you said earlier about going down the line of this Nibiru being some sort of dimensional object that's always been there. It's just our 3D dense matrix that we're in, we just don't see it, and the veil itself is being lifted, because I think that is the evolution that we have to go through. And I mean, if we are going to progress in science, and if we're going to progress, the universe itself, the mysteries of the universe have to be unveiled before we can progress any further.
Yeah, while you've been talking, and I'm looking at these folks in the chat room, that for the most part they're very skeptical about what you're talking about, and mm-hmm. I just like to say, none of us would be here if we were sure about anything. None of us would be pursuing anything, and I'd really like to see more people remain open-minded as far as any of this goes. And please don't adhere to anything that science feeds you, because they're learning stuff every day too that they never thought that they would. I mean, there's nothing etched in stone, and there is no way that any one scientist or any mathematician is going to tell me that he knows all. There's no way. I leave my mind open because I want something new and fresh and exciting and something different to appear, like Nibiru. I don't know if it's going to or not, and I don't really care, but if it does, that would be fascinating, and I think it would certainly change a lot of people's perspectives, even on a daily basis, as they go through daily routines,
it would change the world as we know it, and I think for the good. Everybody thinks that this Nibiru is some sort of extinction level event or something that's going to, you know, a lot of people are saying this, and I don't agree with it. You know, one of the main contributors to this is a guy named Terrell. Terrell03, you know, he says billions of people are going to die when Nibiru comes through, and that you should buy caves in the Ozarks and all of this. You know, he's stating that, you know, he understands how the Bible reads and blah, blah, blah. You know, I believe that the Bible has been edited. It's, you know, it's a great work of fiction, and there's a lot of things to be read within the Bible.
Wait a minute, you can't say that.
You know,
you can't say that. You're a Christian.
Oh, I certainly can. A Gnostic Christian would say blah, blah, blah to the Bible, because that's not what Jesus Christ was about. Jesus Christ was not about religion. Jesus Christ was about truth. Jesus Christ was about love. Jesus Christ was trying to bring us to a higher level, a higher frequency, and understanding of the relationship with the source. I mean, if you've ever read the Book of Judas, which was in the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Book of Judas, there's a part where Jesus actually comes in while they're eating Thanksgiving dinner. He looks at his apostles and he starts laughing at them all, and he says, you know, for you do not know who you're praying to. And they're all looking at him like, what the heck are you talking about? And Jesus is like, you know, you don't know which God I am from. And they're like, looking, well, yeah, we do. And he's like, no, you don't. And then all of a sudden, Judas gets up, and Judas says, but yet I know which God you're from. Very, you know, keeps his head low and says, I yet know which God you are from. And, you know, Jesus takes Judas out into area, and he starts teaching Judas cosmology and telling Judas, well, this is what my plan, this is what the plan that I have made when I came here to Earth, this is what has to be done. And I believe that, you know, the whole Judas story is completely fabricated as well. Judas wasn't the traitor.
But Donnie, that's probably, I'll ask you to come on the round table if we ever talk about religion.
I was trying to segue into here about cosmology, which is, you know, which I believe that's what Christ himself was trying to teach, and Nibiru is part of this cosmology, you know, and, you know, but
what about Stephen Hawking saying, you know, if aliens came, this would be an all-out war?
Well,
what about that whole thought process?
Falsity. I mean, well, Ronald Reagan in 1984 said in front of the United Nations, you know, that we have to prepare for a threat from outside our world. What I think is happening now, I think we have been influenced and infiltrated by extraterrestrials of these negative, you know, these fallen angels. They are within our governments. I know they are. I feel it in my soul. I believe there are also good out there that just the source themselves, the source, God, if you want to call it, is not allowing these people to, or these light bearers, or whatever you want to call them, to interact just yet. It's not part of the plan. I think there's a timeline. You know, I think we have to grow and we have to evolve.
Yeah, exactly. We couldn't handle it. I don't think this civilization could handle the government admitting that there were aliens here.
No,
go into full freak panic, right?
It would turn this place into chaos. That's why I believe that each veil has to be lifted one at a time. The only way to start is at the base level, right here in the, you know, right here on Earth. You know, we have to, you know, the financial systems have to be fixed first, you know, which I think is now happening with this Timothy Geithner arrest. That veil is starting to be lifted. With Benjamin Fulford's talking about, you know, how Hitler, how the Queen of England and Hitler were siblings.
Wait, say that again? I missed that.
Benjamin Fulford just stated in his blog that the Queen of England and Hitler were siblings under Nathaniel Rothschild, and that they're part of the Rothschild family.
Hmm. Professor, where did you go?
I'm just thinking it sounds like an awful big conspiracy. That one is a pretty big conspiracy theory. I mean, that's pretty outrageous.
This is what Timothy Geithner just told the New York Police Department over the weekend. This is brand new news.
He's looking to get off on an insanity plea. Because I mean, that's pretty far fetched. Now, I mean, what do you think? What's going to happen here, December 22nd? Are we going to wake up feeling more enlightened, more spiritual?
It's going to be a new day.
Better day.
I hope it's going to be a better day. I hope the veil itself, I think over the next 8 to 10 months, we are going to see the veil lifted. We are going to see, we're going to see the world go in a more positive direction.
Okay, I've got a straightforward question here. You know Jeffrey Hinchey, correct?
Jeffrey Hinchey. Yeah. I'm like, Orban Celeste, right?
Yeah.
Orban Celeste.
Yeah. Jeffrey Hinchey, yeah.
You know what? I respect him. I respect the fact that he's talking about what he believes. He does believe he's contacted aliens. He does believe that they communicate with him. He has been on my show.
Jeffrey's got awesome. I've had him on my show several times. I love Jeffrey. Okay.
Yeah, I do too. Are they still communicating with you? Aliens?
They have not been, no.
Not since you were a child?
No. The last I spoke with anybody who I felt was an extraterrestrial was probably 2 years ago.
But you didn't know 100% that they were?
No, not 100%. No, when I was younger, I knew it 100%. But no, not 100% when I was older, of course, no. Mm-mm.
Well, my question is, if they contacted you at one point in your life, why aren't they staying in contact with you?
Could be my frequency. I could be off. I could be going down a wrong path, or I could be going down a path that they're not agreeing with. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Or you could be doing their bidding.
Or I could be doing their bidding, or they could be leaving me alone and letting me find out my own truths.
Now, I really do believe this is just my perspective, because I will get into this with you on another show.
Sure.
Not a lot of people know about it. I talked to Jeff Frentz and Brad Steiger about it once. I really, when I was like 5 years old, I had an experience. So I'll talk to you about it if you come on again.
Sure.
But that's what I want to talk about, because there's a chain of events, several, that go on in my life. And I wonder, is it a spirit guide or is it that? Is it extraterrestrial?
Well, here's the thing, as I stated earlier, my grandmother was an automatic writer, and I dabbled in automatic writing as well, and we can talk about this in a different time. In 2001, I had a encounter. I started doing a lot of automatic writing. I was actually thought I was channeling from an area called Telos, which is an underground civilization within the Hollow Earth. And I thought I was channeling a specific person within there. This is what the message came out of. This is the book that I wrote was The Message. It was very deep and dark. It's almost apocalyptic and scary. And,
oh my God.
In its writings, and I changed it. I actually had to change it, write it back, and create it into a fiction story. That's why Ursu Adams became, because one of the synopsis of the book was Ursu Adams was this angel from the Orion Nebula that came down, met with a guy in a psychiatric hospital, and was feeding him information to reveal the secrets of the universe to the world, according to how God saw it.
This is in The Message?
This is in my book, The Message, yeah.
Where can people get that book?
Actually, it's out of print right now, but you can. I'm actually going to be doing probably.
I know you wrote it a while back.
So yeah, I wrote it back in 2001.
Yeah.
I had it up. I had it for sale for a brief time in 2006. I didn't really know how to do it, well to get it out there. So I gave up on it. And actually, now I have it kind of in article form and blog form.
The publisher ran out of toner.
And where can they see it on what blog?
You can see it on you can actually come to my Facebook page, and it's in all my notes. You can find them right on my Ursu Adams Facebook page in the notes, or you can find them on the Donnie Gilson Facebook page in the notes.
All right, Donnie, is there any last words you want to say? Because we've run
out. Well, you know, I want to thank you guys. Definitely would love to join you guys again on the show. Feel free to give me a call anytime. Stop by our website, www.ursuadams.com, for all our latest YouTube videos in regards to Nibiru or the strange things that happen. I also wanted to state that also remote viewers are also saying that 2013, we're looking at a large CME event as well, and remote viewers are not being able to see past 2013. So that'd be another subject that we might want to talk about as well in regards to Nibiru. So a lot of weird things happening out there. So, but we hope to see you over. Join us, anybody that's out there that hasn't joined us on freedomizerradio.com. Just join us tonight. We'll be on the air. We start at 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, going all the way till midnight on freedomizerradio.com.
All right. Awesome. I love it. And again, thank you so much. I've never had such a packed chat room, so I really appreciate you coming on like you wouldn't believe. It was a great conversation. I really enjoyed you.
Well, we really appreciate it. Thank you, and God bless to you.
You too, Donnie. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Stay tuned for SF Talk Radio here on Tenacity Radio. Real entertainment, no excuses. Enjoy your evening.
You are listening to Tenacity Radio. Real entertainment, no excuses.
Hi there, this is Simon Godfrey from Tiny Fish.
Hey, I'm Fido Xavier.
This is Leslie Hunt from District 97, and you're listening to Tenacity Radio.
Hello, darling, this is Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and you're here on TenacityRadio.com. Real entertainment, no excuses.
Welcome to the world of psychic phenomena.
Psychics and their abilities are just primeval instincts most of us no longer use.
Join me, Becca Boyd, every Wednesday night from 8 to 9 Eastern on TenacityRadio.com for the Psychic Switch. Are you ready to throw your psychic switch on?